So, okay, welcome. I'm going to call the meeting to order. It is exactly 6 p.m. and I am calling to order the Town of Heath Select Board virtual meeting for September 21st in the year 2021. Welcome, everybody. Our first item is to identify everyone who's here. So myself, Robin Provost, I'm here. We have Sue Lively. Just give me a shout out that you're here. And
here.
FYI, the meeting's being recorded. So we got Sue Lively, sorry, the two of us from the select board. Town
Here.
Coordinator Hilma Sumner.
Yeah.
Then we have Bob Gruen. I don't know if we have both of you or not, just you, Bob.
Just me.
Okay, hi, Bob.
I'm here and not recording.
Thank you. Barbara Gordon.
Here, not recording.
We have Tim. Tim is here with us.
Not recording.
Pat McGann's here.
Here and recording.
We have Ned. Hi, Ned.
Hi, not recording.
And then the three other, so I've renamed.
Yeah, Barbara Gordon.
No, you got her.
I got her. Yeah. And then the three other, Ryan, and Frank is all one, well, not one, because I see two people in the room, but go ahead, three people in the room. But those are the folks that are joining us at 6:15 from Axon Properties. So welcome everybody, and right at 6:15 we'll get started, and you can go ahead and introduce yourself at that time. So we have a little bit to do until then. So if everybody can make sure that you're muted, other than those speaking, other than select board and town coordinator, that'd be great until it's your time. And so review the agenda. A couple items I have. I'm going to move up the firehouse conversation. That's going to fall right before. It'll come in right after Axon and before the COVID-19, because it will lead into that conversation as well. So I'm moving up the firehouse as one of the first items to discuss. And we need to add in Tri-Wire. We need to have a little bit of a conversation about a situation with Tri-Wire. And I think that's it. Oh, no. And then we are tabling the minutes. We're tabling the minutes because those minutes were for when I was not here. So Sue and I, we need to have Brian here next week. And there's a correction on the posting. Even though I'd love to say that the next regular meeting is November 28th, it really is going to be September 28th.
Oh my gosh.
I'd love to say that we're taking a break, but we're not doing that. It will actually be next Tuesday. it'll be next Tuesday. And then the only thing about groups of people here, Tim has been asked to join. I asked Tim to join for some of the conversations that we're going to take part in about the firehouse and also COVID-19. So when we get to that, Tim will be unmuting as well. He'll be taking part in that conversation. So Sue, anything else from you on the review of the agenda?
No.
Noma, anything else I'm forgetting?
Don't think so.
Okay, great. So we have some time before the 6:15 appointment, and we're not going to be doing the minutes. So did you leave me, Hilma?
Oh, I'm right here.
Do you want to do your town coordinator's report? Well, actually, you know what? We did not list public comments. So I'll at least ask if anybody that's here this evening would like to if they have anything they'd like to add, if they'd like to make a comment. So at least I'll open that up first to see if anybody would like that. And there's a lot of people that all I see is names, so you have to holler out to me if you would like to speak. Nobody tonight. Okay. Then, Hilma, you want to do the town coordinator report?
Certainly.
Thank you.
Okay, Northeast IT, our technician Sean has been in town two separate days since the board last met 2 weeks ago. In fact, he was in town most of today. I believe all four buildings are Live. Alive and well, whatever.
All right.
We have broadband, hardwired and wireless. On the wireless, and I will be like posting signs and I'll post it on the website. But on the wireless, we have two guest Wi-Fi links that do not require a password. They do require, you know, an agreement to comply with the statement that's listed there. And then we also have a password secure employee wireless network. So it's really exciting, I think. It means Claire has internet. Which she was ecstatic about. Okay, so in terms of the regionalization grant, I filed the final report for the original 191 regionalization grant. It was reviewed, approved, and then like the town was, I guess, released and we could have access to the new grant application. And actually it was kind of nice because some of the information was already like pre-filled into the new application based on the last application. And so the new application went in last Friday. And what a town was eligible to apply for was the unspent balance of the original grant. So for Heath, it meant that we could request $34,370 because that's the amount that we have not spent yet. Let's see, on Thursday, September 9th, I went to the STAM annual meeting. It was held in Northfield. They had one state official in the morning and another one in the afternoon that addressed the group. The one in the morning was a representative from DLS that was hired specifically to work with the towns in regards to the different federal grant monies related to COVID-19. So he spent his time like talking about kind of the wrap up, the end of spending like the original CARES Act funds. Basically, what's going to be spent has to be spent by October 29th, unless special permission is given. But the definite end is December 31st for those funds. And final, and he talked a little bit about the final reports that municipalities will have to do. In the afternoon, there was a second state official that spoke to like infrastructure needs across the state and just how like the state has four different grant programs that deal with things like roadways, streetscapes, sidewalks, that type of thing. And in the past, they've all been like very separate. And now the state has kind of combined them under one umbrella. And it's kind of like you do one application and then indicate which grants you're applying for and which project goes under which particular grant. So he talked about that a lot. Since this was in particular small town administrators, there were a lot of comments and questions made in regards to the level of Chapter 90 funding and the fact that we have gotten the same level of Chapter 90 funds for many years now. It has not increased, and yet construction costs have greatly increased. So in essence, it means that municipalities are falling, if you will, falling farther and farther behind. They're able to do less and less each year because costs go up. So they put in a strong plea, I guess, that the legislature would look at that and would seriously consider increasing the level of Chapter 90 funds. Let's see, the MVP meetings, the three kind of like group divided meetings are laid out here. They will be held October 25th and October 27th for the groups to work on the three different focus areas, infrastructure, society, and environment. After those are done, I believe there's going to be another, I want to say large meeting or, you know, entire group meeting that'll be held to kind of try to pull it all together. So that's coming up in about a month. And just this afternoon before I got this finished, had discussions with Nick as fire chief and also the vice president of the Firefighters Association. And there's two members of the association that are going to look at a vehicle. It's a Chevy Suburban that has been owned by another fire department. They're going to look Saturday if the vehicle checks out okay. They are going to be purchasing it with association funds. And it's going to be what they're calling a squad vehicle to transport like a group of members as they're going like out of town to different trainings and that type of thing. And that's basically my report.
Great, thanks, Hilma. Sue, do you have questions for Hilma?
No.
The only question I have, Hilma, is what I was gonna start asking you earlier and we got cut off, but the association was also looking to see how to get that back. You're going to work with them if they choose to buy it when they see it. You're working with them on how they're going to get it back to Heath and everything.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Right. I'm going to contact our insurance company tomorrow and see if we can get like a, I don't know what they call it, temporary insurance.
Okay.
For like one day.
Yeah. Okay. And some type of a plate.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. They had asked about that. Okay. Well, they certainly do pretty well with raising money and are able to purchase a lot. It's great. Great what they can do. And it's really wonderful. Everyone in town that supports those activities that they have. So.
Well, I have a question. Is that going to be both for Colerain and Heath? Is it going to be a shared vehicle or is it just for Heath?
Oh, it's just for Heath.
Just for Heath.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. So we're pretty much right on the dot of 6:15. So our guests are here. Now they're popping back on. There's a handful of folks at the table now. So Hilma, hi everybody. Hilma, hold on one second. Hilma, do you want to just start with just a brief intro as to your contact and what we're doing tonight?
Sure. Let's see. Well, actually, a few weeks ago, I got a call. Corey that called me? I think just wanting to know where to start if they were interested in property for the purpose of some kind of cannabis growing facility. So I gave him Doug Mason's name and contact information as the chairman of the planning board. And then I didn't hear anything else until last Thursday, I think, when Ryan called me and said that he had been in contact with Doug, and I think done their slideshow presentation to the planning board, and that then Doug referred him to the select board and said that was the next step in the process to introduce themselves to the select board and introduce the plan that they have in mind. So then they were scheduled for tonight. Fortunately, it was kind of a light agenda, so I could get them in this week. And here they are.
Great. So welcome. I'm sorry there's only two of us here tonight. There normally is a third member, Brian. So you have Sue and I for tonight. And I'm just going to turn it over again. Most people are muted, just so we can hear you clearly. Make sure everybody stays muted, please, other than our guests, and go ahead and introduce, and away you go.
Great. So first of all, thank you for the opportunity. I do want to make sure I have a full presentation that I can go through for discussion, but I want to understand everything that you guys would like to get from us tonight, and also open up the possibility of discussing your structure of an HCA. Helma did send me the most recent HCA that Heath had sent over or had drafted that wasn't executed, just so we could get an idea. So I'm open to discussion on that as well, but want to introduce ourselves first. But I do want to be clear, whatever information you're looking for, I do have a nice presentation, but if it's taking too long or we have limited time and there's other subjects you want to cover, I'm very open to do that.
Okay. So I think that it would be really appropriate to have some level of a presentation, because there's a lot of folks that are here from the town, sure. Different, just people that are on different boards. I see as all the different names, I can look around the room, and also just residents of town. So I think a presentation is appropriate. As far as timing, I don't know how long you think the presentation is going to take. We do have one other item that, but there isn't a time frame on it necessarily as to when it needs to start. That's going to take us a little bit of time. So I don't know, how long do you think your actual presentation takes?
I think I can get through this presentation in a little less than 10 minutes, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay, cool. And great, thanks. Can somebody give me the ability to screen share?
You should have it, can you?
Okay, if I do, then great. Let me
have them introduce the other members of the team that are present.
Sure. Oh, I can do that while you're doing that. Hello, I'm Chris Utuma. This is, I'll let you go, I'm sorry.
I'm Mark James.
I'm Heather Coode.
Thank you.
Thank you all for making the time. Nice meeting you all.
It's a pleasure.
So let me hop into this. So it does have the ability to screen share, and we are off to the races here. Okay, so some quick background on us. Let me get the slideshow going here. So first of all, we are crucial, but outside of just crucial, I do want to state that we are very normal business people here in Michigan. Outside of cannabis, we have a lot of business experience in real estate development. We also own a construction company here that's focused on the utility industry that has a little over 200 employees currently. And then most recently, we've also, as a business collective, been able to purchase a bank. Chris, who's sitting across from me, recently purchased it. It's a state charter bank. And then outside of just normal business ventures and our cannabis operations, we also support the foster care system here heavily through an organization called the New Foster Care I have a summary email that I know I sent to you, Robin, and Hilma as well, but I'm happy to share any of the information with other people. In this industry, I just always like to state that beyond cannabis, we are normal business people with a lot of business experience as well that can be referenced. But to the cannabis side of things, so we are Crucial. This is our logo. So who we are in Michigan is we're experienced operators who have built both indoor and outdoor operations in the state of Michigan. And we've done that over the past 3 or 4 years. We understand the business here in Michigan from really seed to sale, but even further than that, on the real estate development side, the construction side of the actual facilities. Specific to Massachusetts, though, what our goal is to actually focus on the outdoor cultivation sector, which we feel is an underserved market in Massachusetts in the cannabis industry. So think of us very basically as farmers. However, farmers that like to use the most recent technology and hold ourselves to the highest standards. So our goal is to consistently produce high quality marijuana in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. We have a variety of marijuana strains, and all of that adheres to the Cannabis Control Commission's regulations. Between our legal staff in Massachusetts, which is Vicente Cederberg and Phil Silverman, and then our staff here in Michigan, we feel that we have a great management team, again, that understands this business from front end to back end. So very clearly, we're seeking to operate an adult use marijuana cultivation facility, outdoor cultivation facility at 136 Hosmer Road in the town of Heath. And that's brought us to the meeting tonight. To be clear, on this piece of property, we are not looking to have any retail sales, currently do any product manufacturing, and there will certainly be no on-site consumption of marijuana at this facility whatsoever. A little bit about us, I'll just run through it in more detail. So this is myself, my beautiful wife, Stephanie, and our three children. We reside in the Metro Detroit area of Michigan. In marijuana specifically, we've developed over 72,000 square feet of indoor plant canopy and currently operate an outdoor grow of 11,500 plants. Beyond business and cannabis, I'm very focused on my family and then also giving back through the mentioned charities earlier. Our chief financial officer is a gentleman named Josh Smith. He has business depth well beyond cannabis. He has a bachelor's degree in finance and an MBA from Michigan State University. He's very much an outdoorsman. He has experience with a lot of the high tier auto suppliers here in Michigan and does a great job for us in the cannabis business. Corey Lord is our director of cultivation. Corey is the guy that is physically on the farm in day-to-day operations and is what we would call the mastermind behind the plant. He absolutely loves the plants that he deals with. And as we speak now, he's actually at our Michigan facility starting to harvest our 11,500 plants. He's done a great job for us. He understands the plant down to its biology. He currently resides on the west side of Michigan and would be our director of cultivation. Brian Krupa, who is a former Navy SEAL, very decorated military background, is our director of security. And his job is to make sure, number one, that the community around us is more or less unaffected or uninterrupted, that he adheres to the regulations of the CCC through the video monitoring and also our internal processes and SOPs to make sure that there's no internal theft happening and that everybody's safe and compliant. Outside of his military background and what he does for us now, he also helps raise money for the Michigan Animal Rescue League and enjoys running events for them and creating awareness for them. Just a little bit of background for those who are on the call and might not know. In April 2018, Cannabis Control Commission began accepting applications for adult use marijuana establishment license types. All applicants must submit to the commission a complete application as part of the application of intent submission. Applications are required to engage with local community prior to filing the application. That is exactly what we're doing now. Once the commission notifies an applicant that the submitted application is considered complete, the commission will grant or deny a provisional license within 90 days. The provisional licensee's architectural plans must then be approved by the commission to enable the applicant to begin construction or renovation of the facility. The commission will then conduct a series of on-site inspections before issuing the applicant a final license, which is allowed by further inspections before commencing sales. So just to get in this and where we are in the process with Heath. So our office here, we've looked to expand to Massachusetts and not only in cannabis, but also real estate development, which we view being hand in hand. So for us specifically, one thing that we found intriguing about Heath is early on in our calls with Doug Mason, we did reference that our intention with this property would not be just to have one HCA, but we have partners like myself and Chris being a partner on the real estate, but then also being separate outside of the real estate to lease land to cannabis farmers. It's a model that we followed here in Michigan, which results in multiple HCAs and also more revenue for the city. So in that process, what we've done is we've contacted Doug Mason and we're in really the second step of this, which is reaching out to the community. We reached out to Doug Mason. We had a great call. I want to be very clear. Everybody in Heath has been wonderful to work with. Doug, Hilma, everybody that we've interacted with. And we went before the planning board and we went through this exact same presentation, answered questions, which I'd like to do here as well. But we're really in that first stage where we're presenting our plan to the city of Heath. We were able to verify that the zoning requirements do work with the planning board. And now what we're really looking to do is get the select board's feedback, which will ultimately go to negotiating an HCA or a host community agreement with the town of Heath, hopefully. And then the next step would be to schedule a community outreach meeting as well. Then we can actually move on to the second phase, which is licensing with the state. I mentioned at the beginning, but we're proposing to have our outdoor farm facility at 136 Hossmore Road, which you can see identified in this map. The location that we're looking at is 145 acres of land, and there are existing buildings that we intend to renovate. We don't intend to come and bulldoze anything down. We may add to some additional buildings after our due diligence, which we're planning a trip out to see the site next week. And we have put this piece of property under contract. And as far as the zoning goes, which is how we found this property, is it lies in what's called the agricultural and residential area, or also agricultural forestry district, which both allow for marijuana cultivation. And we confirmed that with the planning board last week. A little bit more on the actual site. So as you can see, the site's 145 acres. Just to put it in perspective, for us, one HCA is 100,000 square feet, which sounds like a lot, but for us, it's really 2 acres per HCA. So if you have four HCAs, for example, with four different farmers, then you have essentially 8 acres out of 145 acres of land, which is another reason that we really like this piece of property, because when there's a lot of land, it allows for us, which is already a pretty low key operation, not a lot of noise, not a lot of machinery. It's really just a farm, but it allows for us to maneuver throughout the property to really make the community happy with where the plants and the crop is actually located on the field, or excuse me, on the property. Just to run through some specifics. So Crucial's operation, everything that we produce is going to be tested by the state. And that doesn't only include the product that we produce, but that also includes all the soil media that we grow in. What we do is we actually don't plant in the ground. We plant in bags on top of the ground. And then that is fed by a pretty technical fertigation irrigation system, but all with all natural nutrients. And for us, those nutrients are very valuable. They cost a lot of money. So we actually don't like them going into the ground at all, which is why we use the pots. So more or less the physical land is not impacted, short of the grading and the construction prep that we do in order to plant the field. We don't actually put any plants in the ground. Crucial will also satisfy all the minimum energy efficiency standards that are set by the CCC. And then finally, all marijuana flower gets packaged and labeled in compliance with commission regulations. There's not a bunch of pot laying around. It's either on the plant or after harvest. It's, you know, very, very straightforward on how we harvest it and then move it into that compliant packaging. Just a general proposed timeline. And I do want to say that this is not aggressive, but our timeline, very straightforward, is to be operational for the spring of next year. And we believe that we can meet that as long as the town of Heath is willing and able to work with us in getting the HCAs done and approved. But you can see, I won't go through every step, how this kind of falls out. This is a good example of all the steps that have to take, right? So legal interest in the property being obtained. We've done that. But then now we're on to the next step.
Hello. Can we have it tomorrow night? It'll be fine.
We're speaking from the...
I was in the mood for it. I even called you to tell. I've been called you to tell you to get some.
Make sure you guys. Is there somebody that's not muted?
Yes.
Who do you see? Who it is, Helma?
Yeah, Charles.
Yeah, Charles, sorry.
Please mute.
Sorry.
So. Sorry. But no problem at all. Happens to the best of us. So what the stage that we are in now, though, is coming before the select board in the hopes to obtain a host community agreement. And again, I do want to be clear with our intention there. We're actually seeking ultimately multiple or the ability to have multiple HCAs or host community agreements with different growers on the same piece of property individually. But more or less, for example, myself and Chris, who are sitting in the room, would be individual operations on the same piece of property. So our intent would be that those HCAs, short of the name, the business that's on there, are more or less the same. So there wouldn't be a lot of negotiating, and we would seek approval for all of those at the same time. Moving on to just preventing any diversion. We want to be clear, we're very tight on our operations and the expectations of holding to the standards of the CCC and the community. For example, Crucial is not going to engage in any marketing, advertising, or branding practices that are targeted to or deemed to appeal to or portray to any minors under the age of 21. This is a CCC rule. For our purposes, again, we're a farm. Think of it just like any other farm. We just happen to cultivate marijuana instead. We're not looking to put big billboards up in the front of the property. We have no reason to advertise in that fashion. We're a wholesaler. We grow a product and then we wholesale it to other retailers. So we're not looking to market in that way. We can't and won't hire any individuals under the age of 21. Or any individuals that have been convicted of distribution of any controlled substances to minors. All of our packaging is very clear to keep for adult use only, to keep out of reach of children. Again, what we produce would not be appealing to children. It's biomass, which just looks like cut down plant waste or plant matter, excuse me. Crucial's website, for example, only allows those who are 21 years and older to visit, and all visitors to the facility, no exceptions to this rule, must be 21 years or older. So then also preventing nuisance, this is important for us. Things we would never permit on site is any disturbance of the peace, any public consumption of cannabis, any illegal drug activity, any littering, no loitering with both pedestrians or vehicles, illegal parking, or obstructing the roadway or private or public driveways in any way. And we would want to understand, and we intend to understand next week when we're out in the community, how we can best do that on the proposed piece of land if we're granted an HCA, how we can accomplish those goals. So no cannabis visible from the exterior. The crops that we grow are all behind a fence, and again, that fence can be strategically placed on the property so it's not a nuisance to neighbors as well. The appeal of having 145 acres is very helpful with that. Also, we're always under live video surveillance, and that's both inside the facility and the exterior of the facility. And those cameras can be accessed by local police or law enforcement at any time, and the CCC has access to those as well. As security measures, every area that needs to be sufficiently lit will be sufficiently lit. We do employ state-of-the-art security systems. Those recordings record for a full 30 days and then reset. So again, law enforcement, CCC can always have access to those. All agents and visitors are always required to display an ID badge, and we always maintain a full list of all visitors. The video surveillance is 24/7. There's no gaps in it. There's no corners that people can hide out or anything of that matter. The only place that is not under video surveillance is the bathrooms. Then as far as benefits to Heath go, we have jobs, right? Our marijuana cultivation facility is estimated to produce 20 to 25 jobs. That's both part-time and full-time. Believe it or not, the amount of plants that we grow actually doesn't require all that much labor. Full-time, it looks about to be 15 people. We would have all those cars parked on the property, in the property. We wouldn't have a big parking lot out front. And then when it comes harvest season, we see an uptick in labor. And one thing that we've thought through doing and have done here in Michigan as well is arrange carpooling or even arranging like a work van, again, just to limit the amount of traffic during harvest season, which typically lasts 2 to 3 weeks, and then it dies down again. So overall, it's a pretty low-key operation, but our intention and the operators of these businesses' intention would be to 100% look to the town of Heath to hire from first. We're not looking to outsource or bring people in. We'd rather stay local. Monetary benefits, a host community agreement, which you've heard mentioned many times tonight, with significant community impact fee payments would provide the city with additional financial benefits beyond local taxes. As far as access goes, Crucial will provide high quality marijuana and marijuana products that are regulated and tested for cannabinoid content and contaminants. And ultimately, guys, what this does is this helps to eliminate the current black market in which there's none of these regulations whatsoever. And then also control, in addition to the CCC, the Heath Police Department and other municipal departments will have oversight on Crucial security systems and processes, and then responsibility. Crucial is comprised of experienced professionals who will thoroughly background check and scrutinize by the commission. And that is it. And this is when I ask if anybody, which I'm sure there are, has any questions at all. And, Hilmo, Robin, I'll take your direction from here. But thank you for your time and letting me present.
Great. Thank you. Let's see. Are you going to stop?
Yep, right now. There we go.
There we go. Hi, everyone. Okay, so thank you. And I'm sure that there's a couple of questions here and there. I'll start Select Board, of course. Sue, would you like to start with any questions that you have? Comments, thoughts?
I don't know, this is all pretty new to me, so I'm just trying to absorb it all. Could you explain a little bit about what the seasonal use of the property might look like as you go through the different seasons, the kind of activity that might be involved in
the site? Definitely. First of all, if we were able to accomplish our timeline, right, the first thing that you would see, but this would be a one-time thing only, is you would see hopefully both this fall through the winter a bit and then also into the early spring, some construction movement going on, right? There would be, after site evaluation, we'd know more, but I would expect some type of work happening at a bare minimum, the fence going up at a maximum, possibly an additional building having to be added, some electrical upgrades, things like that. We have pretty minimal utility use, but this would be a one-time thing as we construct the facility. Operationally, though, what you would expect is you would expect early on in the spring, we actually grow our baby plants inside of a building. That's very temporary. That happens for about 4 weeks. And then when the baby plants are teenage plants, then we actually move them out to the field, and that all happens behind a fence. So early on, I think you would see about 5 employees in early spring. And then in late spring, that's when we'd be to 10 to 15 employees. They would come and go daily. We do lunches on site, so there's not a bunch of traffic, and it's more of a controlled environment for us as well. And then that runs very, very, you know, simply really until late September, early October. Plants are not humans, or they're not robots. They're not, you know, able to calculate things perfectly. But depending on the weather and the season, we harvest anywhere from, I would say, September 20th to October 15th is when we would begin. And then that process takes about 3 to 4 weeks. And that's when you would see an uptick in personnel. To more of like the 25-30 person range, 20-25 person. And then once we're done, we're done. Once the plants are cut and they're hung and they're drying, then our labor comes back down. So then really October, November, that product is cured inside a building, which is minimal movement, minimal staff. Then it's packaged and it's sold. And then, you know, between, I would say, late November, mid-November, somewhere in there, depending on how big the harvest is and how fast we're able to process everything, then we're more or less shut down. We'd still have a caretaker for the property, but we're shut down from mid-November to late November, all the way back till about March. And then that cycle starts again.
Okay, thank you. That's all I got right now.
That's it.
That's all I thought right now. Yeah,
that's fine. Hop in whenever. I have a couple questions, just curiosities. And you, there was so much. I was trying to take some notes along through the presentation. But water source. What are you planning, or what are you thinking of using for a water source?
Yeah. So again, we have a trip planned to the area next week, and would love to meet with as many people as we possibly can while we're there. We'll be finalizing those details. Okay. But this is all, I want to be very clear, this is all subject to site evaluation and really understanding the site. But my best reference, which we assume to be the case there as well, is what we have here in Michigan. So here in Michigan, we have a well, and that's a high pressure well. And the well head feeds some storage tanks, and then that's where the water is stored, and then we actually inject the all natural nutrients into the water, and then that feeds the plants. So that the intent would be a well.
Okay. And can we just go back to the multiple farmers, I guess, just that whole piece again. And I think I made a note as you were talking that the different agreements, did you say that they would all be at the same time?
Yeah, so it's multiple businesses and multiple farmers. Again, I like to use this as an example. Chris and I, we do business together here in Michigan on a lot of different fronts, but in this setting, I would be 100% shareholder and owner, and Chris would be also a shareholder and owner. So these are not people that we're trying to find and locate now. These are all, you know, people that we work with here in Michigan and would be doing this with us. But the way that that's structured is, as a real estate developer, we develop the property and then we sublease these sections, which is essentially 2 acres each, to those individual businesses. So our goal would be for all of those HCAs, which I view as a benefit to the community because it's increased revenue. And so our goal of that, Robin, would be for all of those HCAs to look very similar. Obviously, the names would be different. And be able to go in front of the town of Heath all at the same time, do the community outreach meeting all at the same time, and get executed all at the same time. That way, in the spring, everybody can start as one.
Okay, and you said that you are already under contract on the property. Are you looking other places in Massachusetts?
We have, yeah. We've been doing a lot of due diligence in Massachusetts, and we've moved some conversations further down the road in a couple other communities as well. Yes.
Okay.
And I want to be very clear there. We in cannabis, we have a lot of experience outside of cannabis with real estate development, both agricultural, multifamily housing, things like that. So in this setting in Michigan, we learned a lot. And so not everything that we're looking at in Massachusetts right now is operational based. Some of it's real estate based as well. But we have talked to other communities and have experience, and we've been through the process in other communities as well. Yes.
Okay. Okay. All right. When Sue asked you about how the seasons looked, the times of the year, is there, would there be somebody that'd be considered like a caretaker who'd be static through the whole year? Would there be a person or two people or whatever that is that would be there continual?
Yes, for sure. Yeah. And that would be, first of all, it's critical to our operations. And then I would think it'd be important to the community as well, just to have that known person that oversees the property. Yes.
I think it's important to point out here just that we'd be investing a lot of money to build up the operation. So we would obviously be very vested in making sure someone's there to take care of everything, look over everything, even in the off season as well. So, you know, it becomes part of the process there that someone's overseeing that for the whole year.
Yeah. And have you spoken at all to our police chief?
Not yet, no.
Okay. All right. You said you're coming when? Did you say you're coming next week or was it?
Yeah, we're planning to be in Massachusetts both Tuesday and Wednesday. And the way that it's looking now is we would be in Heath on Tuesday.
Okay.
Ooh.
But we can adjust to Wednesday if that's better for people.
No, Tuesday's fine. As you can see, this is our meeting.
Okay. No, on Tuesday.
That's the day our police chief is usually around as well.
Yes.
Tuesday.
Okay. You could have the opportunity to meet him and speak with him.
For sure.
So.
Thank you for the answers to my questions. I'm sure I'll have some more at some point. Hilma, is there anything before I open it up to anybody else that's here? And actually, I'm going to ask you, Ryan, are you folks okay with me opening it up to others that are here on the call tonight? This isn't necessarily a public hearing, so I guess I'm going to leave it up to you as to whether you're interested or willing to answer questions from others tonight.
Sure. Yeah. So, Robin, we did something similar at the planning board, and I'm more than happy to do the exact same thing here. We value a lot of open communication as much as physically possible. So even when we're in town next week, I'd love to meet with people if anybody even wants to meet. So, yes, open it up.
And then all right,
one more thing to say,
So hold on, everybody. Oh, wait, who else was talking? Sorry, who else?
I'm sorry, Robin. I was just going to say too, if we do have time after the questions, and I don't know if this is the right venue or not. Obviously, we're anxious to move things forward as quickly as able. If we could talk about the HCA more after the questions, if that's possible.
Sure, we can get into that right now if you prefer, so that we kind of wrap up the select board portion before I open it up. I'm happy to take a couple minutes on that. Hilma, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have a couple of questions whenever I can ask them.
So we haven't, of course, this is, like I said, the select board's first time to really be able to, you know, meet you guys, obviously, and start thinking about this. Sue is newest to the select board. This is her first year of her first term. And Brian, like I said, is not here. So while we can do some kind of start on talking about whatever questions you have about the host community agreement, the full, so all three of us will need to kind of talk about that as well. We'll probably put this right back on the agenda for next week to be able to have a follow-up conversation when Brian's here as well. So that's just saying that, but we can discuss that now, and then I'll open it up to questions from folks that are here from town.
That's wonderful. When is the next meeting, Robin, just to catch
it? It is next Tuesday. It is next Tuesday at 6 o'clock. So we have been on an every 2 week schedule, but because of a couple other issues that are going on in town, we will be meeting again next week, because we're going to need to take some votes that need to happen sooner than later. And so we've already scheduled for next Tuesday.
Wonderful. You want me to cover the? So appreciate everybody's time today and the great questions so far. What we would ask for consideration, you know, it's a relatively low impact operation. I know the CCC, when they published the rate, the maximum of 3%, I think the intent originally was more for the higher impact operations, i.e. retail, would cost more, and then indoor grow less, and then outdoor grow being the lowest impact, you know, seasonal business would be the least, is our understanding of the intent there. The other side of that, of course, this is a seasonal, you know, business, you know, obviously have costs that are year around, like we talked about, even staff, but you only have, you know, really one revenue event. So the 3% of the gross number becomes very tough for a business like this to be successful. But we would ask for consideration, particularly if we're committing to do, you know, four licenses, you know, if we could get a substantially reduced cost to that. And another discussion point could be if we could entertain a cap being put in place. Again, this would all be per HCA. So if there's going to be four on this property, you know, obviously then that revenue would be times four. So even if you went down to 1%, you would still, which would be a third of the proposed 3%, you would still achieve a much higher number than you were previously looking for with our commitment to do four of them. And then the other part for consideration, I'm throwing a lot out there at once, is I understand the Massachusetts, the CCC starting to look at these with municipalities and requiring them to justify their cost. We would waive any of that, you know, if we could agree to a percentage that made sense where we wouldn't, I think we're required to ask actually when we submit our yearly renewal, but we wouldn't push any requirement from the municipality to justify those costs. So it makes it easier for the municipality. It's more attainable for us rather than starting with a higher fee and frankly then arguing about it later. You know, we can just agree to a fee that's manageable for everybody now. So those are basically the general requests. One, the lower fee, two, potentially a cap, and then three, you know, allowing at least four total licenses there for this property.
Okay. All right. I will ask that after this meeting, will you follow up with those requests in writing to Hilma so that we can have those for future discussion?
I will. Certainly. Hopefully you took good notes on it. It kind of just flowed.
No, I did. I did, actually. I did.
No, I was saying we did. I just kind of...
Well, ask Tilma.
My team took the notes here, and we'll get those. Yeah, we'll get that in an email. But yeah, I'm sure we can put it together.
Yeah.
I appreciate it, Robin. Thank you.
Yeah. No, appreciate it. Is there more on the agreement that you wanted to talk about tonight?
The only point that I would make sure just is known to, and this will be in writing when we respond, is the mechanism to make sure that, you know, once that fee's locked in, it's locked in for both sides, right? And yeah. To Chris's point, not visiting on a yearly basis, is we would just, we're comfortable with the language in the HCA, for example, being for 3 years, 4 years, something like that, so that the town can count on something and we're not visiting every year.
Okay.
I think that's it for us on our end for HCA.
Any questions, comments on that before we...
Sue, do you have any questions on that? Probably not, because this is kind of new, but I don't want to not give you the opportunity.
No, I'm going to have to do some research.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I assumed. Okay, great. So for everybody else that's here, I'm happy to... Oh, yeah, Hilma, I'll let you go. That's right. And let me just say one thing just so I don't have to interrupt again. So when Hilma's done, I'll open it up if you want to raise your hands. I am going to ask that each person, you know, when you've asked the question, asked and answered, I'm going to move on to somebody else, you know, so that there isn't tons of back and forth. And please give everybody an opportunity to get one question in at least tonight. We'll have other opportunities if this moves forward. We'll certainly allow those opportunities. So that's how we'll, because we do have a couple other things too we have to handle tonight. And like I said, this isn't technically a public hearing. So, but I am happy to take some questions. So go ahead, Hilma.
Okay, I have three questions. First one is, what is the height of the fence that you install around the growing area?
It's eight feet.
Thank you. Second question, you talk about like leasing out the different parcels to different farmers. Do you... have an agreement as you lease the land? Do you have an agreement that they use the same growing method that you do, or can they use whatever, you know, in terms of the bags on top of the land? So there's the least amount of tillage and disruption of the land itself.
Sure. Yeah. So they would adhere to the same practices that were discussed tonight, and they would not be veering off of that. Again, these are known entities, right? That we've transacted with before and are very close to. For example, two of them are sitting across the table from each other. So it'd be the same practice.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. And then my third question is, if I understand what you've presented tonight, basically your product is the marijuana flowers. Is that correct?
It's actually... More or less, yes, but it's twofold. So the industry term for it is actually biomass, right? And all biomass is if this is the plant and these are the branches coming off of it, it's everything other than the stock of the plant, which includes the flower and the trim material. That's what we produce. Yeah.
Okay, but there's still some vegetative waste. Is that correct?
There is still some waste. It's very minimal because a lot of it gets used for extraction to make oils for hand creams and, you know, things like that. But there is a little bit of plant waste, yes.
And then what is your usual practice of disposing of the waste?
Sure, yeah. So that's actually very controlled by the CCC. Okay. It gets ground. It gets mixed with either coffee grounds or kitty litter is an acceptable mix as well. Mm-hmm. It gets put into its own dumpster and then it gets hauled away.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there anyone? Ned, is that a hand up? Okay. You got to unmute. You're muted.
I do have a question. I didn't expect to learn about these things when I came to this meeting, but I hear talk of multiple leases. I am just curious how many leases might there be at one time?
Sure. No, it's a great question, Ned. Thank you. We'd be looking at four businesses on the property. So four leases.
It should be noted the property, I believe, is 145 acres. So four leases would be roughly 8 acres of usage. So it'd literally just be a fraction. I mean, less than a tenth of the overall property still. And so, I mean, if you think about 8 acres for a farm, you know, it's pretty small still, even though it is four. The HCA, the 100,000 limit, seemed to be intended for indoor. That's a lot for indoor, not a lot for outdoor. Just kind of taking a step back there for a second. But
Bob Gruen, have your hand up.
Yes, you mentioned that the water would be obtained from a well, but you didn't really address what you believe the total amount of water that would be extracted from the ground and used for the operation. Do you have a number for that?
Yeah, so Bob, that's a great question. Until we really visit the site and understand it, and then also gain some type of confirmation on you know, would we be able to have the four leases? That's all subject to change. I can write that answer down and get it over to an email to Robin or whomever to get you that answer and probably get that to you tomorrow. But I don't have the specific amount right now.
But even still, we're still just kind of early to put together that plan. We'd have to put together a farm plan and then contact the well contractors and, you know, get a state permit for the well. I mean, there would be a lot of steps to really get a specific answer on that.
Okay, but you have operations in Michigan, yes, that are up and running?
Yep.
And what would the average amount of water be per acre? So if you're using 8 acres, what would the average water use on an acre in Michigan be? And I understand that it wouldn't be exactly transferable, but it would give an idea of the amount of water that you use.
You know, offhand, I'll get back to them.
So if we go through a couple questions, I can get you that answer. I just have to pull some notes. I'm sorry, I don't have it right in front
of me. Okay, or if you can get it to Hilma and Hilma gets it to me, that's fine.
Why don't we do that? Because we do have very real data on that, right?
Right.
And we had projections at the beginning of the season, but Corey Lord, who you saw on the slideshow, it would be a phone call to him, and then I could get you a very specific email on our Michigan usage, which may be very different in Massachusetts, but I can get you that information.
Okay,
no problem.
That's more than fair. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Barbara Gordon.
Thank you. You mentioned the first part of your process of growing takes place indoors. What type of a building is that? And I assume you're working with artificial light. Is that light fully contained within the building, or is this a translucent structure where, you know, there would be light? And related to that, you also spoke about lighting for security purposes. I'm just wondering what the light impact would be for the neighborhood and for our town.
Sure. So those are all great questions. I'll address them one at a time. So first of all, the structure that we perform some of the vegetative baby state, for example, that happens in you know, what would be equivalent of a prefab metal structure or a pole barn. Our intent is to use the structures that are already in place on the property or add to them in a way that it would look the same. They're fully enclosed. They're not translucent. This is not a greenhouse. This is not a hoop house. All the light that happens inside is completely contained. The specific type of lights that we use are LED fixtures. They're produced by a manufacturer called Lux Lighting. And if you were to walk into the operation, what you would see is plants about this tall under what would look like some LED shop lights, for example. Not big, crazy bright lights. They don't use a lot of electricity. And that happens for about three to 4 weeks. As far as the security lighting goes, the security lighting, look, our plants, if they're disturbed by light at night, it completely disrupts the cycle. So we're not looking to have these massive lights all over the field so nobody can enter at night. That actually does the exact opposite of what we want for our plants, because our plants grow with the sun and they do their thing when Mother Nature takes its course. And so we want to keep that as natural as possible. So our goal with security lighting would be, very simply said, as minimal as possible. So if you were to visit our farm now, when you pull on the driveway and you pull up to the building, we have some floodlights that are motion activated, and they are dark sky compliant, and our lights here would be dark sky compliant as well, to make sure that there's as little as possible. We're not outlining the whole perimeter of the fence with lights. We're not a compound. We're not a jail. It's really just a farm, and even more so for us, our plants are very, very sensitive to light, so we try to keep as little light as possible.
Thanks, Barbara.
Let's see, are there other questions? That's it for today. I have just one more question, just because I'm curious. How is Heath's weather the same or different from where you are in Western Michigan, where the other facility is?
Sure. So we're you know, in Massachusetts, we're much closer to the ocean and the impact that has on weather. But in Michigan, we also have the Great Lakes, and we have a lot of lake effect weather. So there's some nuances there that are similar, right? I know Corey Lord has done a pretty in-depth study when we started looking at Massachusetts as a market, and more or less the weather patterns are very similar, right? There's some more heat during the summer in Massachusetts than there is here in Michigan, and those things aren't necessarily a bad thing, but as far as the timing of the seasons go, it's more or less the same, has been our learning.
Great, thank you.
Yeah, and Robin, one other thing I wanted to note too, is the requirement by the CCC is that we have in this process what's called a community outreach meeting. Our legal counsel, Vicente Cederberg, they actually engage a mediator, send out notices to all abutters, and they make sure that there's a form where if it goes for 2-3 hours worth of questions, everything's tracked, and that meeting is specifically for that. And that's just for anybody who, you know, couldn't make the meeting, couldn't ask a question tonight. There will be another meeting that's exactly for that purpose, to make sure all community questions get raised and everybody has a chance to speak.
Great, sounds good. All right, group, anybody else? Any questions? Last thoughts? Anybody? No, Sue, Helma, anybody else that's here? Those of you who are, I only see names. Okay, well, great. Oh, sorry, Helma, go.
Oh, Helma has one.
Helma got one.
The only thing I wanted to say is I assume that that Ryan or whoever from the group will be in touch with me, and we can work out arrangements for like meeting folks next week when you're here and in joining the next week's meeting.
Yeah, I'll be the one in contact on that. Mark, who's sitting behind Chris, will actually be the one really managing the process with the HDA and sending those notes. But then coordination on trips will be me, Helma, and I'll be reaching out to you tomorrow morning.
Okay. If we're in town, if we're in Heath during your meeting next week, is there a place we could come, or is it all remote? I mean, is any municipal facilities open?
It's a virtual meeting, but we will make sure you have a location.
Okay.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Whatever works for everybody, whatever's comfortable for everybody. You know, we can have our laptops and go somewhere and you know, make it work, you know, from our car or whatever as well. So we can be flexible, our hotel room, you know, whatever.
Yeah, we could work something out.
One more question. I see a hand from Alice. Alice, you got something?
Sorry, I had to figure out my unmute. I know you were talking about four leaseholds. So were you, each one of the farmers will have their own license through the Cannabis Commission. Is that accurate?
Yeah,
correct, yes.
And that is all regulated by the CCC. So, you know, so a lot of the potential concerns that the community would have, you know, will be regulated by the CCC as far as separate farms, you know, having all their own requirements, separate fencing,
yep,
different things. So, you know, that is something we'd have to, you know, work out with them. And I think that, you know, they're going to make sure it's done in a proper manner as what we would regardless, but you know, CCC does regulate all that.
And so a follow-up to that, because I noticed it sounds as if you're looking to negotiate as the leaseor of the property. So exactly what, in other communities, they often have each individual business work the host agreement with. Do you see a benefit to one way versus the other? I'm just curious as to your methodology.
Yeah. So for us, what we're not trying to create, right, is we're not looking to create, hey, maybe next spring there will be two or one. We would rather come to the table, both for the lessees, the farmers, right? Again, two of them are sitting at this table, knowing exactly what the expectations are, and really circulate a document that more or less is the same other than the business name. That way the town knows, the operators know, and then all that can be confirmed at one time, and then we're just motion forward for the spring. That would be our intent or methodology, as you phrased it.
It just makes it simpler for everybody, for the town and for us.
Right. Do you see a problem or a forecast of you then somehow not being able to, if the town negotiates in their host agreement, a certain percentage of anywhere from 1 to 1.5 or 2% to make it lucrative for you to have multiples? Do you foresee any issues down the road with having only two and you're committed to an extended amount?
So I believe the question is, if we committed to a fee and then there was only two, for example, would that be a problem with us? Again, going back to your earlier question, the benefit of making sure that all four were negotiated simultaneously would allow us to have the peace of mind that there are four, in fact, right? And that we have four committed parties as well, two that are here. And then I don't think we would have to have that conversation. Our goal for everybody is to, you know, set the fee and then not revisit it, at least for, you know, 3-4 years, something to that effect.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alice.
Go ahead, Sue.
Is four your maximum number of people, of farmers that you want involved in this, or is that a beginning number and you expect it to expand in the future?
Four is what we're planning right now, but to the point earlier, I mean, it is 145 acres and four would only utilize eight.
Yeah.
It does seem like there's opportunity for growth there, but obviously we need to, four is what we have as our plan right now, you know, plan in place. You know, we'd obviously want to see where the community's at with that, if, you know, and where we're at, you know, but I think the plan would be four next year and then to grow from there, if it makes sense on both sides.
Yeah, Sue, specifically, if we want to be upfront that, you know, we've worked through it, four is our number. That's what really works for us. We think, and we can list it for different, you know, reasons why we think it's a benefit for the community. It's also, an equivalent of 8 acres, which in 145 acres, I think is very little impact. And there's a lot of flexibility to place it in an area that everybody's happy with, right? Both sides. And then I think we're open to all the possibilities in the world, but we would want the community to be open to that as well. We're not sitting here thinking, hey, our intent is to go from 4 to 12 to 25. That's not the intent at all right now. The intent is four. And I think we'll learn a lot next year. And at the end of the year, we can revisit this conversation and it goes both ways. You know, would we want to do more? Would you want to do more? And what's everybody's openness to that?
Thank you.
Sue, what is your thoughts? Are you wanting more or you're saying, or what is your thoughts? You want to keep it at potentially four? Just curious what your
head. Me personally?
Yeah.
Me personally? I want to make sure that for the town that we're clear on what this could become, what this will be and what it could become. So right now we're looking at it as only 8 acres and 4 farmers involved. But I think it's important for the town to know and understand if, you know, 3 years from now, we could be talking about it being 20 and that we need to be thinking about what that means for us. So we're not just talking to you and negotiating this plan for the four, but we're also planning for the future possibility of substantial increases because you have the property to do it with. So I think that I just want to make sure we understand what we're looking at.
That's a great thought. I think that the community would have discretion over that. I don't know that you wouldn't be required to add more if you chose not to in the future. I mean, so it would really be at our risk. If we did want more in the future, you'd have discretion not to.
Yeah, and more than that, we are not at all a hide the ball type of organization. Yeah. We're very upfront on our intentions, which is why in this meeting we said, look, this is who we are. This is what we're looking to do. These are our thoughts on the HCA, and we also would like to be going by next spring. You know, we're clear on our goals, and we want to hear your goals as well. And so yeah, there's no thought of we want to build this massive cannabis farm beyond what we're talking about now currently. And to Chris's earlier point, that's completely within the control of the township. We would have no right to make it bigger. It's a good conversation.
And it should be noted, to Ryan's point, why we try to be totally upfront is we really only want to be in communities that want us there. And you know, we do other developments outside of cannabis. And that's just what we've learned, you know, that where communities are split and an election could change the community's temperature towards whatever the project may be. Or if a community is not really excited about you being there, we'd rather, we're very excited to work with you, but I'm just saying as a rule, we want to be where we're wanted. We generally invest in communities where we're at, both obviously in the property itself, but also in the community as a whole. We really try to be great community partners, and we just want to be with places where they want our involvement. So we try to be as upfront as everything we're thinking at the time and with the option of full disclosure on that.
Thank you. Sue, was that good? Do you have other questions for tonight?
No, not right now.
All right, great. So that being said, I'm going to thank you for coming and giving the information. If you have anything to close, if you'd like to share with us, if not, we'll leave you to communicate with Helma and make plans for next week.
No, we're looking to, we're excited to visit, and we really appreciate everybody's time. We appreciate the time being able to talk and the opportunity. So thank you very much.
Appreciate everybody's great questions. Appreciate the great thoughts. Thanks, everybody.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for everything.
All right, team.
Bye. Good night. All right. Okay, team. We've got some more work we've got to do here. So next on our agenda is the firehouse update. I asked to move that up before COVID-19, and then it's going to kind of spill, I think, into COVID-19. So last week, the firehouse was actually on the schedule because I wanted to talk about, follow up on the concerns we had heard from the chief. And unfortunately, that conversation didn't happen because I wasn't here last week. 2 weeks ago, sorry. So what I wanted to say at that point in time is I wanted to give an update, and then I wanted to be able to do some more homework. So I didn't want to drag it all out another 2 weeks. So I've done some homework, and it's been coupled also with some other folks that have been involved. So to back up, we've got the concerns about mold that we had in the firehouse. We got the concerns of critters. We have previous concerns about the fact that we have lack of facilities, lack of water, accessibility. We have all those previous issues. But the mold and the critters really pushed for us to really start thinking about how we handle that building and how we handle and deal with the people that are in that building. The last week has kind of been an overdrive for me with focusing on that building, in the fact that I've been able to have a couple of meetings that I've taken part in. One that came from some concerns from the Board of Health as well, about the mold and critters and how we handle things. So since then, there's been, like I said, a couple meetings I've had with the chief, one with that Randy Crozier was at, and then also that the building inspector's been at. Hilma was at the building inspector meeting. Tim was at the meeting with Randy Crozier. So where we stand right now is we basically are in a situation that the end building, the EOC building that is attached to the fire department garage, that is no longer going to be able to be used right now for any length of time of people being in it. So for the safety of the people, we're going to basically be closing that building. We think we're going to need to relocate the EOC, which we've already started talking about how we're going to do that. And the EOC, the recommendation is for the EOC to relocate to Jacobs Road. And as far as the fire department members are concerned, the association has already relocated, so that's not an issue. We do have an issue in the fact that we have to keep the garage open for the trucks. We need to keep the trucks inside a building. It's the only building we have right now. We do have one option of bringing in a temporary fire department garage, a building kind of like what they're doing in Greenfield, for those of you who know about that. That does have a cost associated with it. We also have another option that we've discussed in length about keeping the trucks in the garage where they are now, but making certain that everything else that's in that garage get relocated to a more safe environment. And that's basically the turnout gear. The turnout gear is the biggest issue that has any mold implications that needs to be moved as quickly as possible. So the wonderful idea was brought up to use the existing garage, separate garage building that's on the property that houses the brush truck, and to use that as a storage building for the turnout gear and any other equipment that we can fit into that building temporarily while we continue to pursue the construction of a new fire garage for the trucks. So this plan has been discussed with Randy, and this plan has been discussed with the building department. Nick has been involved, and Tim has been involved. So all of the people that are directly affected have been informed, and we believe that basically all of the steps that we need to do to accomplish that are in the process of happening and can happen. The brush truck normally resides in the winter up at the fairgrounds, so that's something that's going to be looked at for this year, that would open up that actual independent bay for the turnout gear. One of the issues we've had for the storage of the turnout gear is that we have wood lockers that line the wall in the garage, and there really isn't good air circulation. So it's important for us to be able to better house that turnout gear so that we don't lose it, because of the extreme cost to replace it. It just so happens that the Greenfield Fire Department today and yesterday were vacating the entire building, moving into their temporary home. And tomorrow morning, the building is going to be sealed. Anything that was in the building was going to be destroyed. Luckily for us, the lockers were part of the building that was going to be destroyed. And we were able today to pull together a group of guys. We made it to Greenfield. That's what I've been trying to do in the background. And we've obtained some really nice lockers that are going to come to Heath at no cost. So thanks to the guys who took part in that. They're not here right now because from what I hear, they're having a quick supper, and then they're going to be up in Heath unloading. So those lockers will be able to be housed in that standalone garage building. That is a heated structure. It is sheetrocked on the interior. It does have a concrete floor. We will be talking about the only need that we may have to do is cut a pass door through the wall so that the firefighters can get into that quickly and not have to always open the overhead door. So that's one of the items that we'll be looking at. As far as the radios are concerned, we already have the radio tower that, and Tim, I'm gonna ask you to kind of jump in if I get terminology wrong, correct me, don't be, I'm not okay. upset if I get corrected. But as far as I'm understanding, the radio towers are set over at Jacobs Road. I think the last connection has to happen with the actual radios.
Correct.
Yes. So what the chief is suggesting is that the radios that will be in the fire engines themselves, those will be used while those trucks remain at the garage bay at their location now. So that will eliminate the need for anybody to go into quote unquote office. We will put a laptop into the garage. There already is a screen in there that they use. So they will have access to a laptop if they need to. We still are concerned about the air circulation or lack thereof in that garage building, even when it's trucks only. So we have had a contractor up to the site who is looking at a commercial dehumidification system that would be mounted on the back wall. We're getting pricing for that. That will allow the firefighters to safely be in that building, but that is all still temporary. The benefit to the dehumidification system is that, assuming we move the garage, the fire trucks out of that building, we would then be using that building for the highway garage trucks and storage. That system could still be used for that department. So it is not a system that would go to waste down the road. There's a lot of training that's going to have to happen with this, because it really will mean that the firefighters will no longer be able to go into that end building. And Tim realizes that there's going to have to be a shift in the EOC. We're going to have to do public education around that. So there's a lot of pieces that we still have to work out about education and people knowing where to go and when to be where they're at. But that's what we need to figure out in the next couple of weeks as we make this transition. One of the items that we need at the school building for the EOC is a generator. So we have the transfer switch in place through the grant that we received before. We have some money that's left in that grant account. And we are currently have a number of feelers out to try to get a generator, at least temporary generator, so that we can make this move. Worst case, we're bringing in an electrician who will be looking at the generator that exists now for the EOC to see if we can temporarily relocate that to the school building to serve the EOC room at the school building. If we do make that move, the garage bay for the fire department would then need to be transferred over and be picked up by the generator that serves the highway department, which is what we'll be investigating with the electrician. So we do have a couple plans. I have a couple feelers out already to see about purchasing or being hopefully donated a larger generator, but it's still in the process. There's a couple places that we know that have generators that are going to become available. And there's a possibility that we might be able to maneuver some type of an acquisition of that. We do know also that the Greenfield Fire Department has offered a small generator for us to use if we need to have that almost immediately for a hookup to move quickly if we need to. So we're getting a lot of help from entities outside of Heath. It's great that people are willing to jump in and help us. In our communication with the building department, we are going to be receiving a letter. The town will receive a letter about the status of that building and about whether it's rehabable. Chances are that we're going to hear that because of the lack of proper foundation, the lack of proper insulation, the issue with the fact that the interior would need to be totally gutted out at this point because of the critters and the mold, and just a number of issues, the recommendation is probably going to be that that end building be demolished at some point instead of trying to renovate it. But we'll wait for that letter and we'll have that discussion a little bit further and talk about the pros and cons. Tonight, I wanted to make sure that people were aware of what's been happening over the last couple of weeks. And next week, we're going to revisit the whole conversation again, bring Brian up to speed. There'll be official votes taken so that we can memorialize the conversations appropriately. But basically we're not going to be able to use that building based on just the air quality, the situation with mold. We're not the only town that's facing this. Other towns are facing this. Obviously, you hear it in the news with all different sized buildings. So we're trying to react as quickly as we can so we can get as many benefits as we can from the area around us to help us out. What am I missing, Tim, from EOC or fire department? Anything there?
I think you hit it all.
Okay. Sue, since a lot of it's new for you, do you have questions? I did send out like a little starter list of things that have to happen for moves. You saw that. That's just a, these things come to mind and these things were talked about in these little individual meetings we've had over the last week, 2 weeks. But I wanted to give the opportunity for you to ask any questions or any thoughts and concerns.
No, it seems like you've been pretty thorough so far. It's just going to be how we keep things moving along so that we can get things resolved and get on with normal functioning.
Yeah,
as correct. Much as possible. And so how we can do that in the most cost-effective and time-effective way is just
right,
piecing it together as we go along.
Yeah. Like I said, I think community education, making sure everybody's up to speed with what's happening. And the reason I move this up is because I think it also kind of walks right into the next conversation, which is the COVID-19 protocol office relocation. There's another whole piece to this for a different reason, but following the same type of plan, I think. But Hilma, am I missing anything on EOC fire department that you can think of before we kind of move on to the next?
I don't think so.
Okay. Last week, the other conversation that wanted to happen, and again, I'm sorry I wasn't here and it couldn't, and now these things are happening when there's still only two of us. However, like I said, we're going to roll this into next week. This is another reason why we're going to have a meeting next week to be able to get right back into this conversation, make some final pieces, bring some final information forth and make some votes so we can memorialize it. But the conversation was going to happen 2 weeks ago about office moving. So I wanted to, for us to kind of bounce back to that a little bit. And I wanted to be able to give some updates that while this piece has been moving forward kind of quick because of the health implications, we have still the office relocation piece that we started talking about and that we need to keep moving forward on. My recommendation based on how things have been moving along and the need that, and some of the other issues that have been happening just daily and how the town is working from a business point of view and how people are working in offices or not working in offices. I think that the relocation of the town coordinator and the town clerk being the first steps, my preference is that happens relatively quickly by the end of this month or into the first week in October. I presented a list for you to look at through conversation I've had with Hilma and Tim on that as well. And, you know, this is just an opportunity to kind of discuss it, ask questions. I think one of the things that, or some information feedback that has been coming to me that bothers me is how Sawyer Hall continues to operate incorrectly. So no matter what we've done to close that second floor, it's still a room that gets used. And if that door is open, people are gonna go in there. I see it, I get phone calls. We need to be able to serve the town in the most accessible, safe, secure fashion that we possibly can. And my feeling has always been and continues to be that that's not the second floor of Sawyer Hall right now. Would it be down the road? Maybe with changes that I would like to see happen or that I would like to, that would needed to be happen for me to feel comfortable. I think that the town coordinator needs to be in a place that she can be accessed without bringing people into one big room. So and the town clerk as well. We have a new town clerk. It was one thing when we had a town clerk and a town coordinator was the same person. It's not the case anymore. So those two pieces I see need to move as soon as possible. And I believe we've put the infrastructure down for that to happen. So thoughts?
Yeah, looking over your list again, it seemed like it was a pretty, there's a whole bunch of little issues that have to be addressed, but all you can do is pick away at them.
Correct.
And it's just making sure that the communication systems for all of these communication systems seems to be one of the biggest challenges to where they can function the best.
Right. And you'll see that Hilma is really listed as the key to really trying to reach out and get all those answers. Yep. And I mean, Hilma and I are constantly communicating back and forth on this. So, and now that we've met with Tim, Tim is definitely in the loop and really just needs, it's almost like as long as Hilma gives a job, then the job gets done by whoever it's being, you know, sent out to. So, you know, moving of computers, moving of the phone has been an ongoing issue that needs to be addressed, and the state computer. We have a continued issue with the police department. That's the other person. John has asked to be relocated. I believe that it's in the best interest for him to move as well. And, you know, so that's going to be my recommendation. And that's, I'm going to bring that up again next week for vote. And then the only last piece that I feel we're not providing proper, how do I want to say it? Proper access for the town is the financial department. And the financial department is like 50-50. The accountant and the treasurer, of course, do not interact with the town, but the tax collector and the assistant assessor do. We've already seen Alice already moved. And my thought would be, and I've mentioned this before, that we would move the full financial team into one room, have it be a financial room, be more secure, be locked. And I'd like to see that happen by the beginning of November or mid-November. There's a little bit more about moving those folks over. And I think on the list, I mentioned things like trying to get the office set up appropriately with partitions, desks, locking safe, locking cabinets so that people have secure space. And I know that there is a lot of, or many people who are concerned about relocating people from the center of town to Jacobs Road. But it is clear to me that the select board has to pull together a lot of work that needs to be done at various locations right now. And it is too difficult to have people in small groups, in my mind, this is my mind, in small groups, in different buildings, all needing some type of repair, renovation, remodel, addition, anything. There's all these different issues. And I just feel like if we can safely, securely, accessibly put people in one location and then start dealing with each independent building, that it will be cleaner, easier, more cost-effective, number of things. So that's kind of my spiel. I've said it a handful of times. I'm just bringing it full circle right now. And I'm hoping that people can understand that it doesn't mean that it's the end of the center. From my point of view, I want to still use the buildings in the center. I just want to figure out how we can use them effectively, efficiently, and safely, and repair what needs to be repaired. We just need a chance to be able to focus on that in individual buildings and get these things taken care of. So those are some of my thoughts. So I don't know, Sue. Just the two of us back and forth, man, like a ping pong, ding, ding.
Oh, you're
ding.
Doing good. Just
no, oh, where's there's a volley?
I'm just you're sitting here listening. Yeah, I mean, I can't argue any of the things you're saying. And we've had, it's we keep having these little breakdowns of various things that we end up spending our time dealing with all these little things and not being able to deal with the big thing, which is functioning of the town. And right now it feels like we're so overwhelmed by so many things, and COVID has brought in so many complications that to make this adjustment now and allow the town to function in a smoother way so that we can start to really focus on big pieces, it just seems really important.
Yeah. We do have, I forgot, and that's only because I keep thinking town employees, but we have one more. So the Board of Health is located in the second floor as well. And that's another conversation I feel that we need to reach out to the Board of Health and have that discussion with about where in Jacobs would be an appropriate place for them to have a desk and secure and lockable space as well. So that's one piece that I haven't. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say they could move down into the police department space.
I don't know if
temporarily.
Yes, possibly. I think that the police has to have us locked. I think their space has to be separately locked and others can't go into it. So I have to talk with John about that. But that is room that's available. Correct. It's extra space than is not needed by one person. I guess that's the best way I should say it. I just don't fully know the whole ins and outs of the locking for his space. But I will have that conversation. Very good point.
In the write-up that you sent out with some of the steps that you felt had to be done, one of them was the copier. This is just a minor thing, but there was a small copier over at the Jacobs Road that I remember using in the past at meetings. I don't know if it's still there. I don't know if it functions, but there was one there. It might be worth checking. I see heads going back and forth. So,
Hilma.
Okay, there's actually two there, little desktop printer copiers. They really need to be checked out as to whether either one of them work and they just need new ink cartridges or if they don't work. So that's kind of in the to be determined category.
And some of that, for those who are here wondering why that's being brought up, so one idea is still to, we realize we have a post office and we have a library, which is another whole conversation, but these folks use a copier from time to time. They go upstairs and use the copier at Sawyer Hall. So we still intend to try to create a space, preferably on the first floor, that the folks that are there will still have access to things that they need. This isn't a ditch them and leave them hanging there without anybody around. So it's still trying to provide, while we need to take a larger copier over to Jacobs, we would definitely have something for them to use while still in that building in Sawyer Hall. Yeah, Alice, go ahead.
I'm just curious about the copier that we have upstairs. It's out of its lease. And I believe what we budget every year for that, based on the two machines that I have in Coleraine, are cheaper from the Combi than that one machine that we have upstairs. So I'm just wondering, does it make sense to get rid of the one that we have that has been a problem from the get-go? We have folders and folders of things where the print never went right. We had to keep all of it because we get credit for the copies. It was nonsense. And just get two, one for there on the Combi versus from a local entity, because we did not really go to the state bid thing on that copier and see if we can get one for Sawyer Hall that would be usable for downstairs, and then replace the one that's up there with a better one over at Jacobs Road.
Yeah, it's a good point. We can look at that. I'm looking right now at my office too, and I've been noticing just there is probably more cost-effective approaches right now. So it's every year things get, I think, cheaper actually with copiers. So we should look at that. That's a good idea, Hilma. Maybe we can look at that. Okay.
Well, and actually, I'm sorry. Oh. And one last thing to Sue's point, those copiers don't work. We worked on them, several of us. Margaret Freeman worked on them. Okay. Pam Porter worked on them. I messed around with them. And I think even Hilma, they are, it's not worth the time. I bought a brand new one for my office. And let me tell you, it's way faster than anything those could do. Thank you. Okay. Sorry.
Thanks, Alice. Did you have more on that, Hilma?
Oh, well, I just wanted to say in terms of the copier upstairs in Sawyer Hall right now, yes, the lease has run out. And when the lease ran out, it meant that the town took possession of the machine. So the town owns it. And the way things are handled right now is that we pay so much per copy to the whatever the place we got it from and Baker Office Supply. We are still getting free maintenance and free ink cartridges. They're not ink cartridges, but you know what I'm talking about. It's not the greatest, but it's not as expensive to operate as what it was when we were under lease.
Okay.
But it doesn't mean it's not worth looking at the whole situation.
Sure. Okay. More questions, Sue, or thoughts?
No, so
that was a lot.
Yeah. Is this all you did this all week? Is this?
I know.
It's
been a very busy week.
Yeah. I guess it's just are there ways that some of us can help knock off some of these items that because there's a lot of small stuff here that adds up to a really big load.
Right. And I think that's really Hilma and Tim too, as they're going through this and kind of checking things off, they just have to keep coming back to the select board with what they need us to do. Cause mm-hmm. we don't know unless we're told. So
the intent is that we'll get an update on this next Tuesday and make an official vote whether to do it or not.
Yep.
That's the plan.
Yep. Yeah, I didn't want to do it without Brian.
Yeah.
Just as you guys didn't want to do it without me two weeks ago, but look at the work at least I put into it.
Well, and things have changed even, you know, in the last week.
Yes, correct. You know,
the basement flooded again in Sawyer Hall. The elevator broke. I mean,
it's constant.
The mess at the fire station. It's just things are just constantly changing and not for the better for the most part.
Right. I feel like I wanted to say one other thing. I don't know. It's gone. It may come back. Tim, anything else that I'm not thinking about that we've talked about?
No, I think you hit on everything from our meeting.
Okay. All right. And Hilma, anything that I'm missing that you need from us right now?
I can't think of anything.
Okay, great. Then I think that's it, unless there's other COVID items. Nothing that we need to do. Okay, so we have other business, which is pretty straightforward, I think. the town redistricting, oh my God, tongue twister. That is actually part two of our mail, correct?
That's part correct. Two.
You want to just do a brief synopsis on that, Hilma, for Sue and I, and then we can take the vote.
Sure. Basically, after a census, a U.S. census is concluded, you know, they look at, like, each state looks at redistricting. Where is the population distribution, and where do district lines need to get redrawn, if they do? Are there towns that have reached or exceeded, like, the threshold for the number of precincts that they've been in the past? And basically, for every 5,000 voters, I think, or residents, and I apologize, like, if you go over 5,000, then you have to add another precinct for voting purposes. Fortunately, Heath hasn't reached that threshold. Most likely never will, but each municipality has to, when they finish, like, redrawing the districts, the precincts, all that stuff, the information goes to the local governing body, whether it's select board or town council, who has to review the information. Part of it is also ascertaining the town boundary lines, which is part of the packet of information that you have. Our boundary lines have not changed. The description is accurate. And basically, since Heath has, and I believe the 2020 census, the population count is 723 residents, which means a slight increase. But anyway, we fall below the limit. And if so, what you folks are doing basically is you are voting to say, yes, the boundary lines of the town are true and accurate, and that the town will remain as one voting precinct. And then once you do that, and like, the documents need to get signed, and then the town clerk will sign them, and then she sends them into the appropriate office in the state.
Okay, so I was going to say, I'll ask for a motion. And I'll second it, and then open it for discussion. Any discussion, Sue?
No, I mean, it seems pretty cut and dry for a town of 700 people.
Yeah, sure. Agree. So then all in favor?
Sue, aye.
Rob and I. Okay.
Thank you.
The Rural Roundtable. We need to know who's going to that, right, Helma?
Yes, but I, Budge is definitely going, and I believe Sue said she could go.
Perfect.
It's okay. This Thursday. In 2 days.
Yep. So where is it? Do you know where it is, Helma?
Isn't it Zoom?
It can be Zoom, or you can be, no, there's going to be some on site.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I forget which ones it was, right.
I will have to look that up. I think it's that. I think the in-person would be down at Mohawk.
Probably.
Okay. But I will look that up.
Great. Thanks, Sue, for going to that. And Budge, even though he's not here. Firehouse, we bumped up. We wanted to add Tri-Wire just briefly because we don't have a lot of information yet. We received notification in the mail today. Was it today?
Yes.
It was all like last minute. We received notification in the mail that, hold on, I want to pull up the email. I get it right. Tri-Wire has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. It's very new. I don't know. It's very new information. So we will be reaching out. We've sent the information to council, and we will reach out and get further information, more to come on it. In essence, we have a little bit of information from council about making sure, you know, how we handle payments and that type of thing, but probably more to come on that for the next meeting. Go ahead, Hilma.
We did just hear back. There's an email, and basically we continue to process payments for work done the same as we always have.
Okay.
For that, right. That part of it. Yeah.
So I'll wait. I know that there's people here who probably have a little bit more information, but we'll, since that's not technically on the agenda for tonight, we'll get more information and follow up next week. But I did want to at least put it out there so that it is out. Future meeting dates. I don't know that we should do that without Brian. We're obviously going to meet next week, so we probably could table that till next week. And go over the schedule next week while he's there. I don't want to schedule a bunch and then have to change it anyways, but definitely next week. Does that make sense?
It's fine.
Okay.
With the number of things we've got on the agenda, it looks like we're going to be having to squeeze in a few extra meetings here and there.
Yes. Yeah, I think so. So maybe through the month of October and then back off a little at the holidays. We'll see. We'll kind of make a list of what's coming up over the next handful of weeks and make sure we're ready to discuss it next week so we really can get a good schedule put together for a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
Any other business that we didn't already bring up other than the mail? I'm going to go to the mail. Okay, so we will go to the mail then. I'm gonna try to. I'm still in green, so that might off. Part one. The Heath regionalization, the update for publication. Do we have any steps we have to take on that? I know you guys had that. What are we doing? You're muted.
Okay. What the team would like folks to do is give the okay to release this. And when you give the okay, I will be sending it out verbatim in a townwide email. It will get posted on the website. I believe they have also prepared like a press release. They want it to, that they will be sending to the newspaper, but they really want to get the word out. So if it's acceptable to you folks, that's what will be done.
Sue?
I was very impressed with the work that they did. I know they didn't come to this decision lightly. They have a lot of good reasoning and facts behind their decision. And I think it's time to just put it out there. And I think that I'm in agreement with what they've done. I don't want to be in agreement, but I am in agreement with what they've done. And the only thing, my biggest question is, where do we go from here? Like, is the same group of people going to be working with the negotiations as far as Mohawk is concerned?
Or, I would think so.
But and are they willing, and do they know that? You know.
Yeah. Go ahead, Helma. Yep.
Well, except for Ken, they are going to continue. You know, we've applied for the new grant because they still. From what I understand of what they said 2 weeks ago and communicated with me since then, it's like they do want to follow through in gathering some different pieces of information. You know, like they've already asked the management, was it the management solution, to do some financial projections, things like that. So they still want to gather that kind of information before putting out like a really firm final recommendation. So they will continue to do some work, but they feel it's very important to make a public statement of where they are right now.
Yeah. Well, and one of Ken's primary recommendations was that as they continue to work on gathering these last pieces of information that they feel are important, that he also felt we should be negotiating with Mohawk at the same time to make sure that we when they get to their final decision, they'll have a complete picture of what it could look like either way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The other thing I noticed, and I don't think they said very much about it when they presented last week, and I didn't really see anything directly related to it here in their report, is the OPEB costs or the situation.
They just haven't gotten there yet.
I know they haven't gotten there, but I think it's a situation. My understanding of it, which is somewhat limited, is that could have a significant financial impact on Heath, where some of our other decisions don't. The numbers that they showed us last week show that whichever way we end up going with regionalization and who we stay with doesn't have a huge impact on the Heath tax rate or the tax burdens that we have to pay. The impacts are greater on the other school systems than they are on us. But that is just looking at the educational costs for each year.
Mm-hmm.
And this the whole retirement issue becomes a really important financial piece if we continue to go with Hallamont. That's something that I don't know that that everybody in town is going to understand that or have to be aware of it, but it's something we have to be aware of.
Gotcha.
So it's not that I'm saying that they should have an answer to it. I'm just saying that it could be a huge situation financially for us if things don't go in our favor when we try to work it all out. And and it requires a lot of special legislation.
Mm-hmm.
So are you good with this being released? Are you, Sue, happy with it?
I think it, okay. Am I happy with it? No. I think it has to be. Yeah. I think people need to understand that there are some complications, some overwhelming complications here.
Right.
And they need to understand that people are working on them, but they are going to have an impact on the final decision. It's not a simple thing.
Yep. Okay. So I guess we are. Toma.
Okay.
You want to send them a note?
I will do that. Thank you.
You want to vote? Did you want to vote on that?
Sure, why not?
Make a motion to release the statement from the Heath regionalization team. Update on exploration of Heath joining Hallamont Regional School District.
So move.
Second, any further discussion? All in favor?
Sue, aye.
Rob and I. Okay, the next is STAM, and that kind of follows your meeting. Do we need any? You need anything from us on that?
Yes. Of course. So STAM wrote this letter and and you know, we voted as a group to support it and send it. But also, if you folks are willing, they consider it helpful, like if a similar letter is drafted and sent from the select board of small towns. So if you're willing to do that, I can draft and prepare a similar letter.
I'm fine with that too.
Mm-hmm. They want an individual letter from each town, or they want general letter? Okay, not a general letter from like the Franklin County Board of Selectmen or something. No.
Okay.
No. Okay. So that's fine.
And then we have email from the chair of the Board of Health, letting us know that they'll have they'll be providing monthly reports, which is great, to the select board, and that they'll have taking turns of visiting, being here at our meetings to answer any questions that we might have. That's great. Thelma, if you could just respond back and say that we received this and thank them.
Yes.
And the next is Sue's update on the Animal Control Committee, that they are allowing Charlie Lamont to join. You guys voted on that.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else that you wanted to report?
That was it.
That was it. Okay. Thank you for doing that. We then have the update from Superintendent Stanton on COVID testing in the schools, policy change they're discussing. We have the Colonial Power electric rates. What do you need from us on that, Thelma? Nothing, just for our FYI. Okay.
Yep.
We have charts of, it's not listed on the list, but it was included in part one, our current Heath debt list. That's just an FYI for us. I guess that's going to be coming to us on a regular basis now. And then we have our monthly call notes from broadband meeting with Bill Ennen. So anything in part one you want to follow up on in any more depth, Sue?
No.
Okay. And part two was all the census information that we've already dealt with and voted. And part three. So we have a resignation from Parks and Rec, Bobby Honeycutt. So we need to accept that with regrets, a motion that way.
So move.
Second, any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Sue, aye.
Rob and aye. And just, Helma, the follow-up there, do they have someone that's interested in being a junior member?
Well, they actually have, I believe they have a couple of adult people, because now there's two vacant seats on Parks and Rec. And so they have a couple of over 18 folks that are interested, and then a young teenager who's interested. And so that's why I provided the note to Kate that that I thought you folks could appoint the young person as either a junior member or ex officio member or something. So Kate's gonna get back to me with,
okay.
All right. With names of everybody.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We have the draft of the senior, what are we calling it now? The senior program coordinator. He's senior program coordinator. That's for our review and comment. We'll put that on an agenda item to make any comments on that. I don't know when yet, but we will do that. We have a couple of emails again from Jean, Chair of the Board of Health. About the upcoming appointments, those are being, that'll be on the agenda next week to review those appointments. We did receive also another email today from the estate about a possibility of an individual who's interested in joining. So I don't know how, if that, I think she had a couple of questions. So Hilma and I have responded and asked her to reach out and let us know the questions and to reach out to the Board of Health as well. So we'll have a handful of people to review for those two seats. Right now we have three people interested, so there could be four. And, oh, vehicle idling in the town center, right? This is town center, yeah. So I personally have no issue with posting a sign. Did you send that? I had a picture of one.
Hilda sent it out.
Oh, you get to see it? Okay, good.
Yeah.
So I don't have a problem with it. I didn't know if there was any historical center issues with putting the sign up, but I'm fine with putting a couple signs up if, I don't know how you feel, Sue, about it.
Well, it's not a very attractive sign, but I have no objection to it being put up. I mean, it is a law.
Yeah. So Hilma, if you want to go ahead and get a couple, that's fine.
Yep. I think thinking about it today, I think I will wait until Jeff comes back from vacation because he has a bona fide road sign place that he can order signs from, and the highway department is really the entity that should install the signs. Yeah. So they're not obstructing a roadway. So that's what I'd like to do.
Fine. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And you can let the Board of Health know that we're moving forward with that.
Okay, I'll do that.
Even though there's somebody here already, but we should.
I will send an official email.
And then we have just some meeting minutes, some information from the library trustees for our review. I think it's a good idea at some future meeting to have the trustees invited back again to kind of do an update conversation about what their thoughts are about the Sawyer Hall location and Jacobs Road. They're talking in depth about the two buildings and how to use those buildings appropriately. So I think it makes sense to have them come back in. And then the tech, Franklin County Tech Negotiation Subcommittee. So we need to have somebody on that, I guess.
Yes. And the one thing that is unclear, and I will probably reach out to Barbara Williams at the tech school and see if it's supposed to be somebody different or needs to be somebody different than our school committee representative, or if it can be the school committee representative.
Okay, let us know.
When I read that, I questioned whether they were asking for one select board member in general, or are they asking for one select board member from each town? I mean, that seems to me like an awfully big negotiation team.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. So we'll get some clarity and then make a decision on that. Who will do that?
Okay.
And that's all of the mail. Anything from part three? Anything else? Sue?
No.
Okay. No. So next week, We will, our agenda will kind of mirror what it was, some of the items from this week, right? We'll talk mm-hmm. more about the firehouse. We'll talk more about office relocations. We'll talk more about the cannabis
mm-hmm.
group.
Yep.
Meet with them. Do they have they, are they going to present us with a host community agreement?
I'll find out
what they want it to look like. They made some suggestions as to what they want to see in it, but were they going to be presenting one?
Do we already have some information on what a host agreement can include?
Yes. So, Helma, it would be good if you send what we've done in the past, and it would send it to all of us, Brian, Sue, and I, but it might be good to get any type of information we've had in the past to Sue so she can read up and get ready.
Okay.
Yes. Whoopee.
Yeah. Very yes. exciting. Very exciting.
Now, at what point, and maybe it's premature, but I'm thinking it, you know, at some point, the agreement definitely needs to go to town council.
Yes.
Even though the original draft, what, 2 years ago or whenever it was came from town council, it still, I mean, this is going to be particular to this new company, and it's 2 years later. You know, and quite honestly, I don't know what kind of rules and regulations have changed, if any. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think it's premature to let Mark know that we've had this group come in and we're going to start this conversation, you know, continue this conversation, I should say. Uh-huh. So I think that's legit to let him know now and see how, you know, let him give us some feedback.
I think one of the big things that's different about this than other ones that we've had is that they're going to be leasing this out and to at least four other people, which, to me, that's going to be a new issue that we have to be tuned into when we're negotiating.
Right. So
this is not one farmer who's doing all of this. There's one group. There's one company that's managing it for four farmers and maybe more, sort of. No?
They're only managing part of it. The town will deal with each farmer directly in terms of the HCA.
No.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Well, yes, let's get, I got to be honest with you guys. I'm going to have to say, you guys can talk about this more tonight, but I can't do it.
No, it's too late. But
yeah. So I've got to, I mean, we definitely need clarity on all of those pieces, but I think it's really up to the group to provide very clear directive as to how they plan to handle the multiple farmers, the multiple pieces, the multiple HCAs. So
that goes to the question that I asked them, and they clearly stated that they were going to be the host agreement person, not the multiple parties, which is typical in other
companies. So I mean, I do, like I said, we got to get clarity on that from those folks.
Well, we need to get,
and they're going to be here next week. So that's, you know, that, and right. And get some feedback from Mark too. Yeah. So Helma, I think that when they do send their information, we can just ask them to be very clear about that those four entities and any possible future entities, what they're thinking of.
If they're coming next week, do we need to post a meeting if more than one select board member is going to be there?
If they're coming to this meeting on agenda, yes, we'll be there.
They'll have to the select board meeting.
Yeah.
Right. But they said they're going to be visiting earlier in the day and they would welcome people to meet with them. It didn't sound like that was during our meeting.
Right, but
I won't be meeting with them during the day, so there'd be no, I mean.
I'm just wondering if we have to be conscious of that.
If you were going to have a meeting with them, if you and Brian, for some reason, decided to have some type of a meeting that some type of decisions were going to be made, then yeah. Which isn't going to happen because.
No, I'm not sure. I don't think that they've ever been to this piece of property, so. I don't think they've driven down that road yet.
they said that. This is their this is their initial visit.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know what they're thinking about if they're inviting people to follow them around when they're here. But I'm just saying if there was some possibility that there might have to be representation there, you know, how would we handle it?
I suggest, since they are going to meet with the select board in your meeting,
good evening,
that you let them do their scouting around, talking to local officials or whatever, other people like the police chief or whatever, and you folks save all your questions for the meeting where it's public, it's being recorded, so it will be available to anybody and everybody that wants to join the meeting or listen to the recording. I mean, that's just my suggestion.
Okay.
I agree. Well, I won't be, I'll be working. So it'll only be during this meeting. So we should obviously have a time, just like we did this time, 6:15, that's great. And if we have follow-up questions. So. Mm-hmm. Anything else for tonight? Nothing? All right, then I'll take a motion.
I move we adjourn.
And I'm gonna second it, all in favor.
Sue, aye.
Rob and aye. Thank you all.
See you next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday.